I'm Phil Nee with sports. The River Valley girls basketball team won 59-29 over New Lisbon in the Blackhawks home opener Thursday night. First-year head coach Joe Woodhouse was able to play several combinations of players in the win, which improved the River Valley record to 1-1 on the young season. Freshman Bella DeVinny led the Blackhawks scoring with a game-high 22 points. She made four three-pointers. Karina Osborne had 8 points. Brooklyn Stokes, 5. Mackenzie Woodhouse and Heidi Hegland each had 4. Scoring 2 points were Elizabeth Gostomski, Lexi DeVinny, Grace Morey, and Kalia Blakely, and Lucy Spahn had 1 point. River Valley was 14 of 27 from the line, and they made 6 3-point baskets. New Lisbon was led by Olivia Bunker with 8. Carrie Edgerton added 5 points. The Rockets made 2 threes and were 5 for 15 from the line. It was the Rockets' first game of the season. They will play at Pittsville tonight. The River Valley JV team won the early game 37-24 over New Lisbon. Following the 59-29 varsity win, River Valley will prepare to play at Potosi-Cassville on Tuesday night. Elsewhere, non-conference girls basketball from last night, the Riverdale Chieftains were winners. They were once again led in scoring by Macy McKay and Zuri Dennis, who scored 16 and 13 points respectively. Kennedy Cooey had the play of the game, tying up a Seneca player with 53 seconds left, and Macy McKay hit 2 clutch free throws with 10 seconds left to give the Riverdale girls a 4-point lead before Haley Schneider was able to put in a layup as time expired to give the Riverdale girls a 49-43 road victory at Seneca. Cooey finished with 7 points, and junior Lily Barr added a basket as well. The Chieftains will be back in action Tuesday night when they host North Crawford and will be seeking a 3-0 start before heading to conference play post-Thanksgiving. Elsewhere, Hillsboro handed Ithaca its second loss of the week, 55-25, the Tigers with a win last night. It was Boscobel 46, Benton 33. The Belmont girls defeated Fenimore 78-30. Lancaster got by Wazika Steuben in overtime, 48-44. Platteville 51, Mineral Point 49. Sauk Prairie 66, Dodgeville 36. Viroqua over Royal 67-34. Sparta 53, Westby 45. Darlington 71-27 over Monroe. Waniwak Center 45-39 over Lafarge Youth Initiative in overtime. River Ridge 38, DeSoto 21. Cashton 66, GET 26. Wisconsin Heights over Clinton 48-46. Wisconsin Dells 57, Reedsburg 22. Almond Bancroft beat Mauston 49-42. And Wisconsin Rapids over Toma 52-27. There are a few girls' games tonight, including New Lisbon playing at Pittsville. It's Prairie du Chien at La Crosse Logan. Also Southwestern at East Dubuque. Kickapoo at Schulzburg. And the Richland Center girls play game number 2 of the week. They're at Portage this evening. At the state football championships in Division 7, Edgar was a winner against Potosi-Cassville Co-op 19-0 as Edgar wins D7. Division 6 was won by Lomira 26-19 over Grantsburg. Division 5, Stratford 21-6 over Wrightstown. Racine St. Catharines took the Division 4 title over Baldwin-Woodville in a good game last night 26-22. 3 more champions will be crowned today at Camp Randall at 10 o'clock. Division 3 will feature Catholic Memorial against Notre Dame. 1 o'clock, Division 2, Rice Lake will play Slinger, and that's the D2 title. The Division 1 game begins at 4, featuring Bayport and Muskego. On the bowling scene from yesterday in the Coffee Clutch League, the Spare Parts had a 17-73, 3 Aces, 17-55, the Pin Pals, 17-33. The Pin Pals had a 6-78 game, Spare Parts, 6-39, 3 Aces, 605. Top series, Cheryl McNerlin of 514, Patricia Adams of 468, Judy Shireman of 459. Cheryl McNerlin had the top game, 203, Ann Makovic, 194, Patricia Adams at 190 in the Coffee Clutch Bowling League. All-Star Bowling Pioneer Print Company had a 2876 series, Morris Heating and Cooling a 2747, Julie Karen State Farm 2734. Julie Karen State Farm had the top game, 1050, Pioneer Print Company a 1004. It was Morris Heating and Cooling 989. Top series, Chuck Pardoon 697, Dakota Pauls with a 691, Chase Keller had a 665 series. The top game belonged to Elijah Cannon, a 278. Jake Morris with a 268 was runner-up, and Jason Gerner a 259. Jimmy Wilson bowled a 593 series, 92 pins over average. Last night in the NBA, Charlotte 123-121 over Denver in overtime. Toronto 110, Minnesota 105. San Antonio beat Utah 126-118. Orlando over the Lakers 119-118. And in the NFL last night, the Thursday game kicked off the weekend, and it was a good one. Cleveland 24 and Pittsburgh 19 in action from the NFL. We'll get more sports in just a moment on a Friday morning. WRCO Sports continues with Mike Clemens, our old buddy. Hey, good to talk to you again, Mike.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning.
Good to have you back on the air. There's a lot of things to talk about this weekend. Let's talk about the Packers and the 49ers. Lots of talk about the Niners being injured for Sunday's game, Mike.
Yeah, Nick Bosa's hurt. They're a pretty banged up team. George Kittle, their star tight end, swears he's going to play in this one. He's had a hamstring injury. Bosa has had a hip and oblique injury, and will probably be going down as doubtful for that. So the Packers get a little bit of a break there. But yesterday we got news that the reason that their star defensive back, Jaire Alexander, it was in a game 3 weeks ago against the Jaguars toward the end of the game, and there was a play in the end zone where he kind of banged with a Jaguars player, and you could see him come up, and it looked like maybe it bruised his knee or something. Well, we found out yesterday it's actually been a torn PCL. So even though he tried to get out there during the Bears game and played about 10 plays before he came off and said, I can't, go. So he's a real question mark whether or not he'll be able to play maybe for the next couple of weeks as he recovers from that. Carrington Valentine is a second-year player that, we heard Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator, talk about. He needs to step a little bit sometimes in terms of his focus, athletic, fast guy, but Jaire's one of the best when it comes to defensive backs, so they'd really rather have him get him down there for this final stretch.
Well, certainly it's going to be a big game there. A lot of people are going to be watching the Badgers at Nebraska. Wisconsin needs a win to become bowl eligible in the next two games. How do you see that chance?
Well, I think Nebraska's favorite. Nebraska has lost 10 games in a row to the Badgers.
Mm-hmm.
10 in a row.
I read that,
It's like their worst losing streak ever. They had a 16-game losing streak against Oklahoma back in the 40s and early 50s, I guess. And this is almost kind of like the Packers beating the Bears 11 games in a row. By the way, I want to tell you one quick little story before I left Soldier Field. the cheese hats that the Packer fans wear. So the Bears fans came up with the cheese grater hat. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have.
There's like a dozen guys that wear these hats that look like cheese heads, but they're a cheese grater. And I thought, these guys have spent $30 or $40 for a hat they can only wear one game a year, maybe two, if they get a ticket to Bears-Packers game in Green Bay. And there they are watching their team lose, 11 games in a row to the Chicago Bears. I thought that was pretty funny. But back to this Nebraska game, the Badgers are trying to, to get a bowl bid. And they're both teams are at 5-5. Matt Rhule is the head coach of Nebraska. Both teams have quarterbacks that have thrown a pick like once a week. Braden Locke's interception at the end of that 16-13 loss to number one ranked Oregon was a killer. And it's been an interesting month for Luke Fickell, the head coach of the Badgers, because instead of a relaxing bye week where maybe you could take a day or two off, get his mind off of football. Jack Del Rio, the former NFL head coach of the Raiders and the Jaguars and NFL linebacker in the 90s, gets a drunk driving citation after driving through a fence and a sign. Actually, I had a friend call me and said, hey, you know that Jack Del Rio story? I said, yeah. And my son was the arresting officer. So, you know, it was a bad scene. He was smashed. And so instead of a bye weekend, you know, Luke Fickell spends going through that crisis and then announcing on Monday what had happened and that Del Rio was gone. And a week later, they lose to Oregon, to the number one ranked team. And the next day, he comes in and fires his offensive coordinator, Phil Longo. And it didn't seem that it was more about, he said it wasn't so much the play calling or the game plan as it was leadership. And he just sort of left it at that. And then he had a press conference on Monday to talk about that move. And an AP reporter, Steve McGargy, very straightforward question, like, so who's your new offensive coordinator? He says, why? Do you have to have someone you can blame the offense on? I mean, it was, you know, Luke Fickell's kind of coming apart a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And it was a very fair question, but that's the structure that they're going to be using going into this game against Nebraska at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. So that'll be interesting to watch.
The Bucks, are they back on track, Mike, as they face the Pacers?
I guess so. You know, the Pacers are the team that put away the Bucks in the playoffs last year, and both these teams are coming in at 6-9, so they've had their struggles. Giannis said, you know, slow down. And, you know, Friday night's game is game 60. We got 67 games left. There's a lot of basketball to be played. Oh, okay. So at least the Bucks have won four of their last five. The Pacers are in a losing streak right now. And you know, you're still waiting for Chris Middleton to come back from having surgery on both his ankles. And the thing I can't get over from Phil is that Doc Rivers has now said this several times. He's talked about this group of Bucks and saying, yeah, we've got to move the ball around because, you know what, we're just not fast enough. Like, he said that a couple of times, which, you know, indicating, like, I need a couple of more younger speedsters that can shoot the basketball here because in recent games, Giannis has just, you know, gone off for 41 points and over 50 points one game, and finally Brooke Lopez is coming in with three-pointers. But they need a couple of younger shooters to chase down the ball and help out these guys.
Could you see him making any trades or anything?
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. There was a lot of rumors that they were going to trade Brooke Lopez this past summer, and that didn't come to pass. And it's one of those kinds of things where you kind of hear some of these rumors, like at the summer leagues and things, and then the Bucks totally deny it, and then like 6 months later they make the trade that people were talking about 6 months before. So sure, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. Maybe it depends on if they actually get Middleton back, you know, at 100%.
And the final thing, the Badger men's team with a tournament in Florida this weekend.
Yeah, Badgers men's basketball team with and I didn't get a chance because I was traveling to Chicago to cover Bears and Packers, but that was quite an upset for Greg Gard and his basketball team to beat number ninth-ranked Arizona a week ago. And you know, it was interesting because Bo Ryan was back, you know, after just being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and they brought back some of the players from 2014, 2015, and they'd gone to the Final Four. And Greg Gard was like, you know, great. You know, you've got this very nice ceremony. We're going to hang Bo's name from the rafters in the Kohl Center, and I got to beat, you know, number ninth Arizona. Well, they did, you know, by almost 20 points. So they're now ranked 19th and 5-0. They're undefeated right now, and then they'll start off with this tournament this weekend down in Orlando, taking on Central Florida tonight.
Yeah, 4 o'clock on WRCE this afternoon. Mike, always good stuff. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Phil. Have a good weekend.
You bet. That's Mike Clemens joining us on WRCO Sports.